Greetings, listeners. I'm producer Nick Mitchell, and I want to sincerely thank you for making Leadership for Tomorrow, Starting Now, part of your day. Your support and engagement mean a lot to us, and today we're excited to bring you part two of our conversation with Governor Mark Gordon. If you enjoyed the first part, you won't want to miss the insights and stories he shares in this episode. Be sure to follow our podcast so you never miss an episode, and stay connected as we continue to bring you conversations with inspiring leaders. Now let's dive back in.
Welcome to Leadership for Tomorrow, Starting Now, the podcast designed to inspire and empower leaders to act today for a better tomorrow.
Whether you are just starting out or aiming to level up, we are here to help you grow, connect, and make an impact.
Join us for engaging stories, practical tips, and endless inspiration to fuel your leadership journey.
Discover how you can make a difference, starting right now.
About your work on stackable credits and how that goes.
Talk about education being, scarier, in a world that we're in. And we started looking at just traditional four-year degrees. And I was going out and talking to places like Banner Health and their CEO and saying, why are we not getting more people into our health services administration concentration? And so he looked at the classes. He's like, wow, this is amazing. Like, all of my people need this. We need ethics. We need, I have doctors that can't send an email, ethical email to save their life, in HR all the time. But they don't need a degree, Rochelle. They don't need another bachelor's degree. So I left several of those meetings throughout the state kind of with my tail between my legs because I was a new director of this program and was like, what can we do? And so what we decided to do was, I started reading about micro-credentialing and that the workforce is looking for smaller bite-size certificates and things that they can obtain quicker than going through a four-year degree. So I went back to the drawing board and I was like, well, we have all these courses. We have the instructors. We have everything we need. Cost-wise, it's not going to cost us a penny. What can we do? And we re-envisioned all of our concentrations. So we turned our HSA concentration into the health leadership certificate. So it stands alone. It's in partnership with School of Pharmacy. So they go through Evolution of American Health, Health Leadership 101, and then they go through two of our leadership classes. So they get 12 credits of micro credential learning, that they can go into a position in healthcare and say, yes, I'm more equipped to be a leader because of those four courses. But they don't have to go through the Master's of Health Services Administration. Sure. That's an option because it is stackable. It can be used towards our bachelor's degree. Several of those courses can be used towards the master's in health services because they're what they call cross-listed courses. But it's not a requirement. And those students can come in, they can get the courses, they can leave. We did some surveys with those certificates and talked to companies and said, would you prefer a graduate, undergraduate? How many credits? Several lean towards undergraduate. My next question was, why cost? They can get the same tools, and the same learning at an undergrad level, and it's going to cost our company a lot less than if we get that certificate at the graduate level. So that's essentially why we decided to go undergrad when we started. And then we turned our organizational leadership degree. We took four of those classes, packaged it into the leadership certificate. And then Hugo, one of the visions of our College of Ag, and our dean, Brent Pickett, for about 10 years had this vision of agribusiness and having it as a concentration under our leadership degree. It took some coaxing, but I was like, we do not want to create a concentration siloed under a degree again, because then you're only getting the students that want a four-year degree. So we're right back at the same point we were when I took over 2 years ago. So we created the Agribusiness Leadership Certificate. And that's stackable with any College of Ag degree and Laramie, so they could go through that 12-credit certificate, apply it towards their undergraduate degree, or it can stand alone. They have a piece of paper from UW that's a credential, just like a diploma, saying, I'm completed the Agribusiness Leadership Certificate. So, so we have three of those. We now, I think, we're over 40 in enrollment, and we just started this fall. Wow. So they're enrolling quickly.
Yes, yes. And the best part of best part of it is, like, again, as Rochelle was saying, is that we're really trying to work on this in really strong partnership with our community, right? We talk about, like, the industry, what they're looking for, the needs that they have, and really trying to advance our, I will use the word workforce, right? Yeah. But, like, really to advance, like, our economy, because, like, when you talk about agriculture too, it's not just about the economy, it's part of our culture here in Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
So it's really important to learn how to really invest time in invest in that community and overall Wyoming. And when we talk about being able to offer those certificates, they are all online and asynchronous, right? Wow. So why is this important for us? Because it's a way to meet our students where they are. So many of our students that cannot go to an in-person class in Laramie, for example, or whatever other institution that they decide to, we really make this a little bit easier for them. So it's adapting our education to fit the need of our students. So, like, they don't have time, they have family, they have kids. I have so many students, they are single parents, for example, or they just got deployed and they can't. So it's a really way to, like, make it easier for them to invest in themselves, right? I think that's our job as educators, to facilitate that process. So we really put our hearts into that, like, really trying to reach out and be meaningful when we have those certificates and those programs. So
yeah. So that is exactly where we were hoping to go. I mean, it's just wonderful the way you articulated it, both of you. No, I mean, that was my hope. You know, it's incredibly difficult to have young kids show up at school and this and that. And so so that was one thing, was, you know, how do we make it so that people can continue their advancement? Because, I mean, I hate to say it, but, at a certain point when you're a single parent, it's nice to have a real conversation about something.
Yes, it is.
But then also to your point, both of your points, was the fact that jobs are changing. Even, you know, in the energy field, even if you're in conventional energy sources, that's changing too, where you used to have the ability to go out and you'd run a scraper or a cat or something like that. Now your skill is you have to sit in a room remotely, and you're running six, you know, cats on the same line. So you have to monitor and understand the technology. So being able to get that without having to move your family to, you know, some other place to get those degrees. And then on the healthcare piece, this is...
And that's the one that's right now is blowing up the most. Our enrollment is the health. They really just seem to be latching onto it.
So let me ask you just one quick question, because I know you have something else. Then the question is, how do we retain those folks? We have great nursing programs around the state, CNA programs and others. And a lot of those people end up, you know, going to a traveling agency. And this comes back to that financial literacy piece, because, yeah, it's great, you can travel, it pays a little bit better, but the cost of doing that is higher too.
When I met with Banner Health not too long ago, that was their biggest, I was like, how can we help you? Like, what is something we can do for you? And that was exactly what they were talking about, was nurse retention and some of those other fields. Like, well, maybe that's something we can look at doing together, doing some research, you know, with your nurses, and, you know, would you allow us to help you with that? And they were like, absolutely. So that, just within the past month, that's something that we're looking at doing, is, you know, really going in and talking to nurses in the state and saying, you know, why are you not staying? Or nurses that have left, like, what can we do to keep you here? And just looking at that and seeing, is it, you know, I know from a teacher standpoint, when people leave, so it may not be exactly the same for nurses, but I know just your worth as an individual and as a teacher, you know, so the more you can provide professional development to that individual, and the more you can feel, you know, challenge them in their position, I think could be part of it. And that's what Lance and I were talking about, was, you know, how can we provide more of that education and certificates? Because we're looking at a trauma leadership certificate. And that's another topic. We just had a lunch with the Wyoming Nonprofit Network in the state. And typically they have about 20 people, so we ordered food for 20 people. And we got a call Friday, the Friday before the event, and they go, you're not going to believe this, but we have 74 people signed up for your luncheon. And I'm like, it's fine. It's totally fine. We budgeted for 20 people, but it's okay. I'll let my dean know. So we switched, had to run down to catering and let them know, but we ended up having 74 people there. And I'm like, that answers our question. That's an area that the workforce wants. They want to, because there's so many people that are non-clinical that deal with trauma every day. And when we started talking about it, for me, it was police, fire, you know, military people that aren't given that clinical instruction, teachers. You know, I was a behavioral teacher, you know, chairs thrown at your head daily, you know, so that's trauma, right? Yeah. But nowhere in your teaching instruction was, this is what you do at the end of the day when you and your team have experienced trauma. So we're looking at a trauma leadership certificate. I mean, several different certificates. I mean, but we want to respond to what Wyoming wants. And when we had 74 people show up at that lunch, we were like, they obviously think this is a good idea.
How can we be helpful? Honestly, I'm serious. That we hear that all over the state. It's not a, you know, it is surprising, I guess, that you'd have oversubscription like that.
Yeah, and I think like this biggest strength of this kind of program is like creating this networking for people to say, okay, I'm having this issue, or I'm missing. This side of my training or my like professional life, mm-hmm. How can we help each other too? Right? So I feel like having 70 people there, like there were so many people like talking, exchanging experiences, like coming up with ideas, and that's how my innovation comes from too, right? And more passion for what you're doing. Like, I think that's really, really powerful. And I don't know if you wanna move on, but I do wanna ask to talk about the global leadership
program, because so I feel like that it's so important. Is our next. So as we were talking about people needing challenge and, you know, giving more opportunity, we get asked on every single group that graduates, probably 7 to 10 of our students that say, do you have a master's degree in leadership? I want to keep going. And we kind of went to the drawing board again and decided we don't want to do a traditional master's program. It would be online. So that's, you know, not, I mean, outside of the box, but what can we do to reimagine what a master's program is going to look like? And we decided to go with the same concept. So we're going to have a core leadership curriculum, so it'll be 9 credits. Sure. That itself will be a standalone certificate. They'll have a capstone experience, but then they can actually choose a menu of 2 or 3 other certificates that will then in turn create that organizational leadership or global leadership degree. So we've been doing Goodwill Huntings is what we're calling them, main campus. And we had one already with our 2 vice provosts, and Hugo got to come with me to that.
Yes.
And we just stood before deans and department heads and provosts and say, we have a call for action. We want, this is what we want to do. We're reimagining what our master's programs are going to look like. What we're asking from you is a standalone certificate that can work within your, you know, department or college,
right.
But that we can also use interdisciplinary and create something that's going to work for Wyoming and beyond. And so far, I mean, we're getting a really good, we have our next meeting December 2nd, and that's when we're going to give them a timeline and say, we need your commitment by February, you know, to move this forward. And it's going to go to the Board of Trustees with, here's this new bachelor's degree, it's a master's degree, it's stackable, but then here are 20, and maybe I'm being overexcited with what I think we're going to get. But here are 20 stackable certificates that students can choose from when they're going through that degree.
Right.
And then all of it's going to go forth before the Board of Trustees together. And what we're hoping is that they're going to see that band of brothers or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And they're going to see us unite, this united front, and say, this is what we imagine for our university.
Yeah.
It's fully online. It's going to give students more, you know, accessible opportunities. And when you have 50 people standing before a board, you know, it's a lot harder to say no than if you have little University of Wyoming Casper standing there saying, here's this one degree.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty big initiative. And I'm being told by like our vice provost, he's like, Rochelle, I know you just had this idea for your program, but it's like reimagining what we want to see for our institution.
See, this is what is so cool, because I said I don't like the term workforce, because at the legislative level or at the state level, you know, it's, we need more plumbers or we need more electricians. And so we're going to create this curriculum that delivers those people without really understanding if that is going to attract people or if they're going to stay or anything else. You know, it's an offering. Well, that's great. What you're doing is responding to needs. Mm-hmm. which is really sort of building the program from the ground up, which is it's awesome.
Well, we can revisit in a couple of years and see if it...
No, but yeah, you know, it's interesting to think that's one of the things that's happened in education. It isn't so much, you know, I'm going to get this degree and now I'm going to do this. It's now I need to have these tools to you know, do my job better or, yeah.
Because, yeah, we want our students to get the job that they want and have a good... Keep it growing, right? We don't want them to be stuck in that place. Yeah. So I think that's where, and just keep providing them those opportunities.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned like single parents and people that don't have accessibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was literally my story. I mean, going through the Air Force to, you know, I was a single parent for a few years and then lived up on the High Line teaching 140 miles from the nearest institution. So I had no choice but to do online education. Right. And I got to see, I call it the good, the bad, and the ugly of, you know, distance education. And so that was one of my goals, was if I'm going to do online education, it better be good. And it better be something that's going to empower the learner. So we've been bringing in a lot of, like, every semester we are trying to come up with exciting ways to engage, because it's tough, asynchronous. I mean, you never see them. Right. We talk to them on Zoom sessions, you know, but not required. They're not required to attend Zoom. So all of the connection pieces are recorded, or us doing announcements, or we came up with a new avatar video, Synthesia. It's AI, so it's actually like you talking, or the avatar, but it's your lesson, and you can have some guy from Ireland that's doing your lesson for you. And so just ways to engage the student, so they're not just watching your talking head for 5 hours a week. They now have a guy that's, you know, got a British accent or, you know, something.
Right.
And students so far think it's just hilarious. I don't know if they love it, but they,
we are looking for ways to incorporate more and more technology.
Yeah.
Not to substitute the like our job as educators, but like also to be sure that we are also following global trends,
right?
We are being sure that our students, they have the tools that they need. So whenever they go to the workforce, this I never heard about AI. What is that? What monster is that?
Yeah,
and then
it's
like they're already comfortable with that. So we try to expose them as much as we can to those scenarios, and including through our internship programs, right?
Yeah.
So today, Roshan and I, we had a meeting with some partners in the industry, trying to find ways to collaborate. And still, like, even though it is online, we still have the human side, the connection side of it. So we can still make field trips. Right?
Yeah.
So if you can come, great. If you can't, we've worked something else that you can do. So we are creative with that. We make it work.
Yeah.
Like, we want them to know that we are here for them. We are still supporting them, even from distance, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I love, you know, the internship piece, because Wyoming really has sort of opened the door on a bunch of that. And it's fun. We were just at HICO, and they were just talking about, we need interns. You know, a lot of welding programs are about going to weld pipeline, you know, on the High Line or someplace like that, which is, you know, a kind of young man want to go ramble. I can make a lot of money doing that. But there's really these incredibly technical you know, skills that have to happen that are so much a part of the technology that's coming. But I was going to mention that what I see in both of you as you're talking about this is, we have a passion to teach. We're innovating teaching, and now we're having a lot of fun thinking about how we're innovating teaching. So it's really invigorating, and I'm just guessing.
Yes. No, very invigorating. No, it really is.
I just want to think, because when we talk about like the class, the kind of students that we get, like, most of them are non-traditional, right? And they bring so much background, so much knowledge, and like really enriches our classroom experience. So, like, just keeps us even more motivated, because again, we are learning as we are teaching.
Yeah.
And I do want to say one important thing, that for our certificates, even if you don't have like a degree, right?
Yeah, I mean, they can just come in straight from high school.
It's a good way for you to try it out. If you don't have the time, the budget for that at the moment, it's a good way for you to try it out and see, okay, I think I can do it. And then keeps committing, then, because they stack, can end up becoming a whole degree later on for you.
Sure.
So it's a good way for you to try the waters. And for people that are like not so sure about it, like, that's not the right time, we can, like, we again try to meet them where they are. So I just want to
first semester, Hugo, we have, two students that have come to me and said, I want to start a degree now. They came in wanting to do the certificate, and then now already, not even at the end of a first semester, they're asking about a degree. And then you see that with our four-year degree, where they come in freaked out, they're 45, haven't been to school in 20 years.
Yes.
And their first experience in college was not good. We file a lot of SAPs. Mm-hmm. We call them satisfactory, or like student action plans, because they had a low GPA when they were 21. Well, now they're in their 40s, so we still have to do that glorious plan. But we just go through it with them and say, it's okay, it was 20 years ago. But what we notice is that by the time they get towards graduation, 2 years later, or whatever the case may be, they're asking about a master's degree. Like, we had 7 apply for the MBA, MPA, and MHA just at UW. Wow.
They want to learn more.
They
That's
want
great.
To learn.
Yes.
They're a population that once they get going, they're just hungry for that. Versus like an 18-year-old right out of high school isn't going to be as excited to go right into a master's program when they finish. And so, yeah, we do see that. That was a good point, Hugo. I'm glad you brought that up. But it's almost like they feel empowered.
Yeah. Well, that is, I love that. I had no idea. And then hearing this, this is the other side of what we were hoping to cultivate. And it's there. It's filled. It's that's exciting. It really is.
Well, we would love to, help you guys as your initiatives go forward. And as ours, we would love to help in any way we can with what you guys are doing.
Well, and I look forward to it, too. And so I'm looking at this material, and it has an apply today. I might just have to do that.
So if students do want to apply, they may, of course, can go to our website and click programs. But I know our amazing marketing specialist, Bree, she will put it in the podcast comments, too, about how people can apply. But I would love to introduce them. I'm going to put them on the spot. Can both of you put your head in the camera? Nick and Bree, yes.
Surprise.
Just a selfie.
I don't know where the camera.
The camera's pointing right here.
Come stand
or
by
right there.
Hello.
There, I can see Bree.
Thank you.
So we have an amazing team. Nick is our producer. And when we speak of internships, so we have our leadership program, and I sent out an email and said, do we have any of our students? Because we are so diverse. Like, our students are in every every workforce population we can think of. I'm like, I'm just going to try. So I sent out an email and said, is there a single student that has very strong technology skills that, possibly has done some podcasting, video production type stuff? And Nick, our producer, he sent an email that same day and said, I've been part of the Speds Baseball. I've done their video marketing, their video. So he had that, but he wanted to learn about podcasting as part of his, so that's been his leadership internship, is literally creating an internship or a podcast from the ground up. He helped us create that as part of his leadership internship for our program. And then next semester, he's going to do an independent study and really deep dive into podcasting and do some studying about how do you lead an initiative like that.
Excellent, Nick. Well, congratulations.
Thank you, Nick. He's awesome.
And then Miss Bree, our marketing, she's the one that's going to be getting these podcasts out for the world to hear. And she's been amazing. And she's going to be a co-host from time to time.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to that.
As we also do these programs, we're also working in ways to, develop, collect data and, develop research in teaching and learning to keep, this very dynamic very dynamic learning for our students and really being effective
sure
with that
applicable and effective. We plan on doing some research in the next year and doing some co-writing on some articles and study our alumni and say what was good, what was bad, tell us everything, and
to keep really improving our main goal here.
So that was a little bit what we were hoping to do with WIP, was to get people to think about that. Instead of, we're offering 6 welding classes, that's great, but, how are they working? What's the marketplace look like? How are the teaching metrics, working? Not so much is it a good teacher or bad, there's that, but really more what's useful, what are people needing, And that's one reason why in the WIP initiative we spent so much effort really trying to pull industry in. So I think if there's a small, I just think this is as cool as can be. And there's a company that moved from Los Angeles to Worland. That's sort of amazing to me to think that they would do that. They love Worland. And they do machining for the parts that manufacture stents for hearts. So it's incredibly precise, machining that they do. And they are saying, but we really need to train people that can run these machines. And, you know, it's a little bit out of our normal framework, but okay, how do we engage with you? And is the state in a position that they can help maybe get the equipment, not so much the equipment that you just retired, but the equipment that you're going to be using as it comes on? And just thinking about education more as a dynamic part of a component of everything.
Yeah, instead of, you know, focusing on, you know, how do we get students to come to us, you know, in that traditional sense, mm-hmm. like how can we bring this education to you on a silver platter? Like, and that is one of my favorite things. It's like, forget about, you know, we can write a course. We can write a trauma course. That's easy. That's my favorite thing to do. Like, you hand me a course, like I wrote the courses for the leadership program. And before
and ride.
Love it. Yeah. Yes. And I mean, it's amazing. It's just fun. Yeah, I actually, so one of the drop courses, totally changing subject, Janelle and I were talking about all these new courses that we're stacking into this degree. And I'm like, oh yeah, we just did one like last week. Allison and I finished the engineering design principles class, not knowing still that it was for RIDE because I'm kind of disattached. But yeah, I had just written a course for that.
Well, and you remind me of something I was thinking about as you were describing, you know, what you were doing and what was kind of making the intellectual juices flow. I was thinking how wonderful it is that there's a hunger that people are wanting to come. That's what education should do, as opposed to, well, we're this institution, damn it, and people should come here.
We're this college, very prestigious.
Right.
And I feel like that, again, because we are in Wyoming, we're in a such great place for this kind of opportunities, because all the university work at the community colleges and mm-hmm. all their educational institutions, that's really great opportunities for us to collaborate and really invest in that kind of education.
Yeah.
Transformational education.
And our whole state, you go mm-hmm. anywhere and they're so excited to hear what you have to offer and bring to them, you know, versus here, come to Laramie or, you know, I mean, just people want what we have. And I think the more we go out and provide that. We went to True Oil not too long ago and just did had 42 people at our lunch. And just out of that event, I think we had two people either sign up for a certificate mm-hmm. or the degree.
And
you know, just taking that time to get down to the company's level instead of saying, here, come to us, you know, let us tell you what we have. And it's been great.
Yeah,
it's been great having a partner. Like, I did this alone for the first year and a half.
You did a great job. I love learning from you. So
I really do enjoy having somebody to work with.
And now you have his incredibly long track record here of almost, 3 weeks?
You've been doing well.
A few months now, yeah.
But has been great. Has been a great learning curve for me. And the community has been awesome. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Like when you try to find collaborators and come up with new ideas. And I love that. Mm-hmm. UW Casper is really great in a sense because we have such a diverse community of educators and staff. Like, we have 20.
Yeah, we have 22 faculty now.
Wow. And all of them, most of them from different departments. So it's really great to just find ways to collaborate with that. Has been really, I love teaching, and being here just brings most of that.
Yeah. Well, it's been wonderful. And you remind me that when I worked for Apache Oil, it was founded by a guy named Raymond Plank, and there's something called the U-Cross Foundation up north that he put together. And the premise of it was, obviously I'm an oil man, and, when I worked for them, it was a Fortune 500 company. He was so dedicated to the arts that they built these studios for visual artists, for musical artists, for performance artists, for writers. And they all would come together in the evening and have a meal. Common, it was all cooked for them. And then we ran the ranch there for a while, and he said, I want ag at the table too. And so you would sit around and people would talk about the art they were producing, and then the oil man would come with a question, and then they would ask about oil, and all these, you know, these barriers that we set up would begin to erode, and suddenly everybody had a real appreciation for what other people are doing. It sounds like that's a little bit of what's happening here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. As our last internship presentation, we had a kid deployed to Jordan. And he, like, called me, and he's like, I'm going to have to drop my internship. And I'm like, no, I don't think you'll have to. Like, talk to your NCO at the base, see what you can do. And he ended up doing his entire leadership internship on, so they were a tent city, and they kept having to move, and he was supply. So creating a supply requisition and a process for, like, accountability for all those materials when you're moving every week, you know, to a new place. And so that's what he did. And talk about, like, for all of our students in the room, we had someone that was like a Verizon manager to a ranch manager of a 6,000 acre ranch. I mean, just all these different careers, and tears to our eyes, like, that, you know, here we have this kid serving in Jordan, and right. he's mm-hmm. doing his leadership internship from a video camera, and he even had his BDUs on. And but it really, like, we have, that's really probably one of our most positive yes. things that students say, is that they love being in a room, you know, like a discussion boardroom. I mean, not live, mm-hmm. but being able to hear from somebody at Sinclair Oil versus somebody that, you know, is maybe active duty or a cop, or, you know, there's right. just so mm-hmm. many different fields, yes. and getting those perspectives, those differing perspectives, mm-hmm. they say that's like their favorite part.
It's a very unique program mm-hmm. in a sense, because you get like all those different experiences and ideas, and yeah, if you want to think out of the box, that's the perfect
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's right now the number one online degree program. Like, it's the most enrolled program at UW. Even though we administratively house it here at Casper, it's a UW program, and we have mm-hmm. to remind people of that daily. You know, like, a main campus student, you know, is in a College of Business class, and they're maybe not being successful with calculus. So we've really started working with, like, their advisors to say, this degree is about as applicable, you know, it may not be exactly what you're offering, right. but it's, right. you know, a lot mm-hmm. better than just getting a general you know, something. So we've really started to go, and Hugo came with me to main campus, and we went and talked and fed all the advisors and deans main campus and said, hey, this is what we have to offer your students, you know, and trying to work together more instead of isolating, because it is a UW program.
Well, and that's actually, I'm so thrilled with Dr. Seidel, because Ed, I didn't give him a chance to get sort of set in his ways. We had sort of the opportunity set with many of the community college presidents, and then there's sort of peer pressure that, because it took a while, you know, everybody's pretty parochial, and it took a while to break it down, but Ed was so opening to, you know, how can we work together, what are the things that we can get accomplished, that I think it really did help, because that was, I mean, for a long, long time, the biggest frustration in Wyoming is, okay, I've gone through, you know, 101 classes, and actually they were, at one point it was 101 at the community college, but the same course at the university was a 201 level, and they wouldn't transfer and all that stuff. And I think we're not quite there yet, but we're closer. We're closer.
We are
yeah. And you know, for a student, it doesn't matter. I mean, which is why the goal is, if you get your certificate, if you get your degree, whether it be, you know, in whatever the discipline is, that it's both a Casper College and UW degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get a lot of students that come in from Casper College.
Yes.
And they'll be working on both at the same time. They'll be taking both Casper College and UW classes, and we encourage them to. We're like, if it's something that doesn't have to be a 3,000, take that 2,000 level.
Yes.
It's a lot cheaper.
And I absolutely, I mean, it's wonderful we have the Hathaway,
mm-hmm.
but But the opportunity for high school kids to be able to get college credits while they're in high school is as big a deal, perhaps even bigger deal, than you know, a name brand scholarship, because you've taken a year off your time.
And some too. Some and of them can do too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess it's the opportunity to try it out too, right? See like what if it fits for you, if like the programs that you're looking for. Like, I think it's a really good initiative, yes.
Thank you so much for coming.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
Yeah. So if there would be one thing that we could say, like, to end this meeting, like, words of wisdom?
No, I just think that education is so cool, and it is luckily what we're doing here, what you're doing here, what we're doing in Wyoming is making it accessible and relevant, and it is valuable, absolutely valuable.
I love hearing what you guys are doing, and it makes me feel like we're all leading towards that same change and innovation to bring education, you know, more accessible for our economy. We just have people all over the state that can't go to Laramie or can't come to Casper.
Well, and evidently all over the world too. Yeah. So,
yeah, and thank you so much. It was really great conversation, and it's great to learn more about like the initiatives that we have, and even like potential ways for us to also align our strengths and like, come up with more ways to like support our students' cohort. Yeah.
Well, I love the opportunity to learn from you what you're doing, how we can help support it, but it is fitting right within that broader context of let's make it more responsive to the needs that individuals have, industry has, and actually the future does need.
Well, thank you, Governor Gordon.
Thank you. All right.